Chapter 97. The sky was a late autumn gray. Fitzgerald had taken refuge with Celeste up in the bedroom. Keats was in the living room with Ron. The sound of the football game was muted. Jackson Brown was singing "For Every Man" when Chris arrived. Celeste had closed the bedroom door and was hoping that Fitzgerald did not beg to go downstairs. She wanted to give them some time alone. Ron stood up when he heard Chris making his way up the stairs, carrying his guitar and a pineapple. "How are you, Chris?" said Ron. Chris embraced Ron and handed him a small baggie of pot. Ron saw a plastic bag and rolling papers and seemed to smile from a forgotten place. Keats gave him one bark, which seemed like an air raid siren. Fitzgerald immediately began to try to get down from the bed. When Celeste tried holding him and talking gently, he whimpered, but continued to struggle. Celeste had to relent. Chris was kneeling on the floor in front of his open guitar case. Ron was reclining on the couch with a pillow between his knees. "How are the pigs doing?" asked Celeste. "Hi, Chris. Nice to see you." Chris got up from his knees. Fitzgerald padded into the room, smaller than everyone else there. Chris and Celeste embraced warmly. She remembered that he always looked smaller until she hugged him, but was as tall as Ron. "I brought you something," said Chris. He took her hand and led her back into the kitchen and showed her the pineapple. "Now we just need a cutting board and a big knife, and we're in business," said Chris. Celeste would have to say that in this awkward way, it was touching. He was the only one of Ron's friends who remembered to bring anything when they came to the house. She did not expect it from Angel's friends, but she did see it as part of an act of respect among adults. Celeste was touched and smiled. "You go and watch the game with Ron. I'll take care of this." Jackson Brown was singing the words, "Sing my songs to me," and Ron was sipping a rum and coke and smoking his first joint in years and absently petting Keats, who was grinning. Chris eventually was introduced to Fitzgerald and was polite but uninviting with the puppy. Chris began to tune his guitar. Ron sipped harder and petted Keats a little more intensely. Fitzgerald was trailing Celeste in the kitchen. Chris said, "I've been working on one of your songs." Chris laughed and sat cross-legged on the floor. "Two of them, actually. Hey, can we mute Jackson?" Ron smiled. "We can try." He loved double entendres, and Chris was masterful at both creating and understanding them, intentional or otherwise. "Have you been playing?" said Chris. "No time. Not enough talent," said Ron. Said Chris. "Seems like it must have taken some talent to write this." Chris launched into "Riding in the Driving Rain Blues" with a far more complex chord pattern than Ron could even understand or was vaguely capable of. Quietly, Ron remembered that he had written this song for Chris. He smiled as he recalled his frustration at trying to teach him the words and just agreeing to sing the thing as Chris played. The gift had never really gone further than that. He listened to the gravelly evocative texture in Chris's voice and was floating on this new song of his when Chris forgot the words and abruptly stopped. He made a couple of false attempts, and we stymied, and then went on to another part of the song. Ron said, "Sitting in a traffic jam in New York City." Chris snapped back to that stop spot in the song and began again. Ron laid in the now extinguished roach in the ashtray. Keats, silent as a shark, snapped it with his tongue, unnoticed. "Where have you been?" said Ron. "I don't think I've seen you for 6 months." Don't have a car anymore, said Chris. Helga let me borrow hers to come up here today. Helga was the woman with whom Chris was living since things had gone really wrong and then gone worse and then hit the basement for what had been the structure of Chris's life. Ron did not know what to say. He could not explain what had happened. Vivid and sometimes bizarre scenes were like segments of video in back of his eyes as he listened to Chris sing a flawless and beautiful version of Chris's song, Imagination. He almost felt a tear when Chris sang the line, "But in my imagination, you'll still be around." Next to Celeste, this was his best friend in the world. He wanted to help and didn't know how. Nothing was going to put his marriage back together. Nothing was going to allow him to create the opportunities for his children that he had wanted them to have. "Are you doing any lawyering?" asked Ron. "I'm out to beat your record," said Chris. "How long did you go without a job? 2 years? Maybe more?" "We were in college, Chris. We had to scam our money." Chris laughed and twirled the unkempt end of his mustache. "We decided to scam our money," he corrected. "What's your plan now?" said Ron. "Haven't got one," said Chris.